out for the season. Javon Hargrave, out. Christian McCaffrey in Germany getting some second opinions about his Achilles. Oh, well, what do you know? Brock Purdy had an MRI on his back. MRI on his back. But he's day-to-day. I think he'll be fine. But right now, the Niners are beat up. We don't know when George Kittle's coming back. We don't know when Deebo Samuel's coming back. We don't know when Dre Greenlaw's coming back. And so now losing Javon Hargrave on this defensive line with his partially torn right triceps, and we know about the money he's going to be owed over the next 2 years, which we'll touch on in a second. It's not time to panic, Shasky. The situation is getting critical for the 49ers here to try to turn their season around. And look, the defensive line in the trenches, you can't stop the run. You can't get pressure on the quarterback. That doesn't change overnight.
No, it doesn't. At least we're not Jacksonville, right? Huh? Right?
Not be Jacksonville.
Wow. I mean, they're in a position that's very, very difficult as you talk about quarterback play and stuff. I think that's the one silver lining to everything, and I know he's got the back issue, but you got to feel really good about Brock Purdy. The game that he had, look, it doesn't mean that you're going to go out there for 16 weeks with a bunch of no-namers and dominate, but like for a small stretch, can the guy carry your offense?
Yeah.
Feels like he can. Yep. Right? Can he move the ball up and down the field? I mean, him alone, he had 340 yards, and then you throw on the 80 yards or so that Jordan Mason had, and the extra 20 Garendo had. They moved the ball. They just didn't have situational stops on defense, and special teams continues to be a bugaboo. The Javon Hargrave injury is just, I mean, it's like a chef's kiss to one of the more poor free agent signings, and it's not because the guy doesn't try or doesn't care. I know there's lots of effort videos that are floating about and all that. I'm not going to go into someone's heart and understand how hard they're working or how hard they're playing on any given play. Has it been a great signing? No, it hasn't.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Shanahan did mention, and here's his quote, "It's a big loss. I thought he had his best game yesterday. I thought he was a huge factor, really affected the quarterback in that game. He's one of our better players. He was definitely going in the right direction. It was going to have a big year." Well, unfortunately, that year ends week three in L.A., but according to all the data points and everybody out there, he was having his best game with the most pressures on the team. But against the run, he can be a liability. There's no doubt about that. You know, now it's getting floated around, something we discussed early in training camp, kind of just messing around. DJ Jones, would he ever become available in Denver? Could you bring him back? Yannick Ngakoue signed yesterday with the Baltimore Ravens. So the thin D-line, I think it's the least talented defensive line under Kyle Shanahan since he's been the coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Draft picks haven't worked out. Apparently free agency signings haven't worked out. It's bad, and it starts up front. So what do you do without Hargrave? T.Y. McKill's going to have to step up. Khalil Davis is going to be back at some point. But it's a massive, massive loss on a team that's already having trouble generating pressure to the quarterback. So now, moving forward, just with the defense, Nick Sorensen and Kyle Shanahan, they may have to blitz more than they ever have before and have to trust these corners and trust these safeties and man. And you get beat up, no doubt about it. You give up some chunk plays. But you got to generate some pressure on these quarterbacks moving forward here, man. Because that was a problem Sunday. Stafford was clean. Absolutely. Stafford had clean pockets on the makeshift offensive line.
Well, and then, like you're talking about, Shanahan saying Hargrave played his best game. PFF does all these different breakdowns. They're like, oh, you know, he led the team in pressures or was second in the team in pressures, depending on whose numbers you're looking at. And it's like, maybe I just view pressures different than other people. Like, I didn't think that Stafford, on some of these ones, they said, oh, that's a pressure, this is a pressure. Yeah. I just thought he just kind of, I'll just drift a little in the pocket, and I'll still be able to be clean. I know the definition is very loose and it's very subjective. It's just your eyeballs tell you they're not heating the quarterback up, and they're not rushing his decision making.
Yep.
You know, and I think when you miss on certain draft picks and when you try to patchwork it via free agency, you could swing and miss big. And I think that's the result of where we're at now is, you know, the Dee Ford injury. I can't get over it. Like, as injured as he was, when he was here, he was really good.
Yep.
You know, and
it took a while for people to say that because a lot of people were just ripping on the guy, ripping on him left and right.
Yeah, I'll be one of the people.
And it just wasn't fair. And then we came out there to training camp the first time he ever went out to training camp, and he's working on the side field trying to get right. And he tells us, I'll come on the show when I get right. The guy was trying, but they have not figured out that opposite edge rusher. And it puts more pressure on Nick Bosa, but that's what comes with the territory when you sign a contract like that. You know, and you sign that money and you become a DPOY. And now when you just get pressures, it's not good enough. People are looking for sacks. They're looking for sack fumbles. They're looking for tackles for loss. I look at Baldy's breakdown and I look at the experts breakdown on NFL Network. And when they're breaking down a 49ers film, whatever PFF says, whatever people on Twitter says, my naked eye tells me they're not getting enough pressure.
That's what I feel.
They're not getting enough pressure.
When you watch and you're going, sack him, come on. If you're doing nine come ons, you know what I mean? Like, eventually that guy has way too much time to throw. And you've brought this up over and over. You can't guard anyone for 5 seconds. No. It's the NFL. These guys are elite. The worst receiver on a team is the best athlete you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, no
so
doubt.
It's really difficult to be able to cover these guys that long. And it's just wild because, like, Shanahan has talked, and he's got a lot of different philosophies, and I'm sure your team building philosophies evolve over time. What you were year one doesn't mean it's who you are year 25 when you're Andy Reid. But he always says, like, I would like to invest in my defensive line. And it's like, I look up and that vaunted defensive line that carried them to that first Super Bowl with Dee Ford and Armstead and Buckner and Bosa. Well, now it's just Bosa. And they've tried to replace it via the draft, and they've tried to replace it via free agency, and just nothing's worked. Drake Jackson, huge miss. You know, Javon Kinlaw, huge miss. Javon Hargrave, huge miss. Right now, you know, and it's just Leonard Floyd hasn't been great early on. I'm willing to grant him a couple more weeks and see where it goes. But they just haven't been able to replenish that side of the ball, that specific unit. And you say it's the thinnest. Like, Bonte, we saw a guy, and we know the roster pretty well. We saw a guy make two plays, and I said, all right, wait a minute. Number 91. I know this team pretty well. I watched every preseason game. I'd never even seen this guy.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere.
I couldn't believe it. And you know what I said to myself? I think he might need to play. Well, like, he's making plays.
On our lads, he's not even on the roster. No, here he is down here on the practice squad. He got caught up for the practice squad.
Well, how
practice
do you pronounce squad. His name?
Sam Oku Ai. I'm not even going to do it.
Well, they played
I need the pronunciation guy so I can do that because I'd never heard of the guy.
Me neither.
But he was on the practice squad wearing number 91, and he had that one pressure where he came in scot-free. But to your point about defensive line and replenishing the talent, when you trade Buckner at the time, in trading Buckner, I said, okay, if you don't want to pay him, that's fine. But to me, it never made sense to trade him just to draft his replacement because I'm in the belief of if I have a proven talent, and I'm like this, especially in baseball. If I've got a proven talent, I'm taking that proven talent all day long over a prospect who may be good one day. And Javon Kinlaw already had the injuries to the leg, and it was the COVID year. So he was not allowed to get into the office or into the facility that entire offseason. Now, would it have made a difference? I don't know. But he was not able to come to around the 49 any DeBartolo away until training camp. So you trade Buckner, who was a proven commodity, great ambassador for the community, for another defensive lineman because you wanted to save some money. That, to me, didn't make sense unless you're trading and you're moving down or whatnot. It just put too much pressure right away. And now, again, Javon Kinlaw may not be that good. He may not be that good. And over the 5 years or 4 years he was with the 49ers, he didn't produce much. But you already put the young man in a tough spot where it's like, all right, we're going to trade Buckner, who was loved by his fan base, loved by his teammates, and we're going to draft this rookie out of South Carolina who's already had an injury history. Oh, no, here's number 99. We're going to give you Buckner's number. This doesn't make much sense. Now, may not have nothing to do with nothing. But I was not a fan of just trading Buckner for another defensive tackle. That was the start of it.
At the time, their thought, and I don't know. At the time, their thought process was, well, we get to keep Armstead with the money we would have gave Buckner, and we can keep Jimmy Ward, and we can get a draft pick to draft his replacement. So they viewed it as a 3-for-1. And I remember you and I doing, COVID shows from our basements, and we both did not like it at all. Well, number one, Eric Armstead got paid like a defensive end when he's a D tackle. Cool. And I just thought it was an overpay. He had a monster year. It felt very career year-ish. They could have franchise tagged him. Jimmy Ward, I will support keeping Jimmy Ward. That ended up being a really good move. But yeah, the Kinlaw move, like, he wasn't healthy and he wasn't good enough. And that's really hurt them. And then you look at it, because he's not good, now you have to go back in free agency and you're overspending for Hargrave to get some impact in the interior. And now it feels like he kind of had a career year, even though he was solid in Pittsburgh before even going to the Eagles. It sure feels like today, like, wow, we kind of got fleeced on a career year too.
Yeah, no,
on a
they
team
did.
With a loaded defensive line where we put up great numbers.
No, they did. They did. And here's the other thing too with the Buckner deal. You give the money to Armstead. We all felt like Buckner had done more to get that money.
Totally.
Like, it wasn't even close. Like, wait a minute. Not only do you trade Buckner, you draft this replacement, give him the same number, but you pay a guy who was not a fan favorite. You pay a guy who had not had a lot of impact, who had a lot of injuries at that point. Eric Armstead, now he did have the career year, and everybody's like, well, he fits the Y9 better. He fits the Y9 better. Buckner's one of those players to me where he fits any damn scheme. 3-4, 4-3, doesn't matter.
He's a great player.
He's a massive player. But now you look at this draft. You look at the last couple drafts here. They drafted Robert Beal, who we think needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
He's an outside linebacker.
Kind of unimpressed.
Yeah. So for the last 2 years, you look at the draft, they haven't drafted anybody outside of Robert Beal on that defensive line. You have to invest in it. The Rams just invested in it. And they're no young man from Florida State. These two guys from Florida State on the LA Rams were getting pressure left and right in this game. And Colt McKivitz, we could have a conversation about him. The film doesn't look good for him.
The film
does not look good for him.
But
Jared Verse was having his day, and he's a rookie out of Florida State. The Niners just did not, like, you think about now, Jared Verse, maybe you move up, maybe you do something there, or you get the other young man, Brayton Fisk, out of Florida State. You chat to Ricky Pearsall, and right now we see nothing from Ricky Pearsall.
So, like, this goes back to, like, you've taken a couple of luxury picks that I don't think are great luxury picks. So everyone losing their mind about the third-round pick on Moody. Well, third round is where you can find playmakers, whether it be on offense or defense. And when you use it on special teams, right, like, that kicker better be good. He better be better than a what I call undrafted free agent walk-on, right? Because you could find those guys. I could find undrafted free agent walk-on kickers. Not that they're going to be the best in the league, but I could find those guys. I believe Justin Tuck originally, now it's an outlier, was an undrafted free agent. I believe originally he was an undrafted free agent. So you can find those guys at a spot kicking where it feels like the replacement player isn't that big of a drop-off.
It's rare, though.
So I look at it like they've got a lot of draft capital that they've used to get premium players. But now that those premium players are hurt, you really miss those picks. When Christian McCaffrey's out, like, yeah, nobody minds trading second, third, and fourth to fifth-round picks for Christian McCaffrey. He's awesome. He's better than all the players you would have drafted with those picks. But when he's hurt and he might be out for the year and you gave him a contract extension, It just makes it harder to put those resources back into the team.
Well, now, for anybody.